thank you for the invitation. It's wonderful to be with you this evening. I'm here in my office in the North Wales office, just looking out at Upper Bangor, a very quiet place at the moment. It's normally full of students, but as you can imagine, it's very quiet at the moment. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you this evening. I want to look at the reading that we've just had, and especially at the last three verses of those, just to give some background to the verses. So, as probably you know, Israel split into the northern and the southern tribes, and the northern tribes, they were exiled, and they went. Centuries before this, they'd gone. But the southern tribes, they'd been exiled, but they came back. And this is what we've got here in this piece. We've got Ezra, we've got Nehemiah, and Haggai, the other priests, kind of looking at this time in the time of the Israelites. And the foundations for the new temple have been laid. And that's what we were reading about there. And it's been a passage of scripture that's really stood out to me over the last few weeks. Maybe you can guess why. We certainly live in interesting times, don't we? Our world has been turned upside down over the past months. Every part of society has been affected from the top, right from the top, from Boris Johnson himself, right down to the bottom. We've been affected by this situation. And I'm sure many things have struck you about what's gone on. But one of the things that I found most striking is the reaction of people towards what's happened. It really has been varied. Some people have loved it. Others have found it very, very difficult. Some have loved the freedom of not having to go into work and of enjoying a slower pace of life, but others have found it very difficult. Some have found great opportunities and have adapted. You can think of this with businesses and so on. Some have really, they've adapted and they've found ways of making the most of this time. Others, not so. Many people have been searching for meaning, and it's been one of the wonderful things to hear of so many churches having more people engaging with their services. But then others have not at all. We've got friends who just have no interest whatsoever in spiritual things. So we've seen this varied response, and we've seen it in the church also. In my church, on Sunday, we've created a bit of a montage where we've asked all the members to create or to put a word up in front of them, so a picture, a word to describe. And again, you've got the variation from uncertainty, repetitive, to happy, to relaxing, this varied responses. Many Christians outside of my church, they've been contacting us in the MW, and there's been varied responses again. A lot have been asking for prayer. Some have been asking for prayer for the virus to be moved from our country. Others have asked for prayer that it wouldn't, because it's a time where God can deal with people. And I've also seen this variation in pastors and in church leaders. Some think that this is a time where God is punishing us. Others think it's a blessing. And many others, probably it's a bit of both. So we certainly are struggling to understand what is going on and to grasp what the Lord is doing. And therefore, you can kind of understand, I think, why I've turned to these verses here in Ezra, because the similarities are striking, aren't they? God's people, they've been through a traumatic time. They've been in exile, they've come back, much longer traumatic time than us. Their world has been turned upside down. And we see that the temple has been built, the foundations have been put down. And there seems to be two distinct groups in the reading. I don't know if you noticed. One group of people were shouting with joy. They were happy. They could see what was happening. It was wonderful. And therefore, they were shouting with great joy. The other group, they were crying because they remembered the old temple. They maybe looked at the foundations and thought, this temple isn't anything like the one that we had before, and therefore this crying. And you can imagine the odd scene that we have here. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. It's a real mixture there. And we're seeing the same in our churches, aren't we? There's a real mixture of responses from people. And what I wanted to do this evening was just bring three things out of this passage that might be helpful to us. And the first thing is, uncertainty shows our need for the Lord. Uncertainty shows our need for the Lord. You know, as Christians, it's okay sometimes to be uncertain. This may be something that is very timely for us as evangelicals, because we are people, aren't we, of certainty, are we not? Theology, we know our theology, we know our churchmanships, we know our morals. And yes, that is correct. But there are also times when God's people are unsure and uncertain. Look at this passage. We see this uncertainty in the passage against the backdrop of what they've all been going through. So we mustn't maybe try and be too hard on them. They've been through so many difficult situations and experiences. Those who are happy, they've got a reason to be happy. God has brought them back. There looks to be new possibilities. You can see the Levites and so on. They're following the decrees of King David. They're following the scriptures. And therefore, there's every reason to be happy, to shout with joy. God might come back to the temple. His presence might be felt once again. But then there was those who were not happy. And again, we need to realize there are reasons for this. They remember what was lost. They remember the old temple. They remember the exile. They're thinking of all the difficulties that maybe lay ahead of them. And they're thinking, is God going to come back to us? You see, as humans, we are complex, aren't we? We have emotions, and we need to remember that. There are also, I've got to say, there are sinful reasons here for the different responses. Again, we understand these people are sinners, and those who are happy, we can probably see from the next few chapters where things don't progress as they should, that maybe their hearts weren't exactly in it. There was a heart problem here. We can see certainly from centuries later when Jesus arrives that people hadn't really changed. The temple didn't really make much of a difference to them. And then those who were unhappy, again, there were seeds of discontent when the Haggai pulls them up on it later, that they're always looking back and they're not looking at what God is doing. So there's so many different responses. And in our times, there are reasons for the different responses we're seeing in the church. And we need to give space to people. And we need to help people see through their situations and through their sins. But it also reminds us that we are not gods. We don't know what is going on, and sometimes that's okay. It's good to remind ourselves of that. We are creatures. We need to be very wary of people and leaders who seem to be certain at these times, exactly knowing what is happening when it isn't clear in Scripture. At times like these, we need to be humble. We need to realize our place. We need to bow in front of the Lord. And we need to allow room for our uncertainty. That's okay. The Lord understands that. And we need to be gracious towards our brothers and sisters who react differently to us. It's one of the things that I've seen, especially on things like Facebook. There's a harshness when Christians deal with each other sometimes when they disagree about things. There have been examples recently of things like online communion. We need to be careful and to be gracious towards each other, especially at times like these, because the Lord knows what he's doing, but we may not. You see, in one sense, both groups of people in this passage, they've slightly missed the point, haven't they? Because it wasn't the temple that was the most important thing. And this leads on to the second thing that we learn from this passage. It is the Lord we need. It is the Lord we need. No doubt that the first temple was magnificent, but even that was nothing compared to who dwelt in the temple. The temple was where the Lord dwelt with his people. It was where the nation could come to him, to the Holy of Holies, once a year. The Lord was there. Now, we have the benefit of history, don't we, to realize that having the biggest temple in the world would not have made a bit of a difference to these people. What they needed was the Lord and his presence. And if there's one thing that we've learned from the past few months, it's that we need the Lord. We need the Lord, the Creator, the one who sustains us, the most wonderful one. Words fail us as we try and describe this wonderful Lord. Outside of creation, he's created everything. He is perfect. He is beautiful. He is awesome. He is holy. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. This is the one that we need. We can have our buildings or no buildings, but it doesn't really matter. What we need is the Lord. We can be together in body. We can be together on Zoom in spirit or not together. What we need is the Lord. We can be able to reach out to people. We can touch people. We can talk to non-Christians or we can't. But what we need is the Lord in every circumstance. This should be our deepest longing, shouldn't it? It'll be right that we learn things from this period. It'll be right that we change and that we develop as churches. That'll be completely correct. The Lord is certainly working, but the overarching big story in all of this is that we need the Lord. And we want the Lord, don't we, as his people. Let me read to you Psalm 63, a psalm that I found incredibly helpful over the past few days. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. Therefore, the question is, how can we have him? Joel realized, didn't he? He realized that the nation of Israel, they couldn't do it. They couldn't have the Lord. Their hearts were broken. They needed new hearts. And as people, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. We have no hope. Have you felt it in this time? Yes, we're saved, but have you felt the sinfulness of your own heart? Recently, I've seen my own, it's almost as if God is shining a light during this time, own hardness of heart. Faith can be weak. The heart goes out after so many other things. I feel like a hypocrite so often. And we can sometimes feel that we almost have the right to have the Lord. That we can just rock up to God and click our fingers and he will come to us. But that's not the case at all, is it? And this leads to the third thing that we can learn from the passage. It is to Christ that we must turn. It is to Christ that we must turn. You see, the people here were spot on, weren't they? They wanted the temple. And a lot of them probably wanted the temple for the correct reasons, because they wanted God with them. They wanted his presence. Some were happy because they saw the possibilities of a new dawn. Others were sad because they remembered the old temple and the Lord's presence. They understood in part, didn't they, but not the whole. See, the temple just pointed to Christ. The temple was pointing people to Christ, weren't they? Christ came 400 years after this. Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us. As John says, he tabernacled amongst us. I've been reading through John recently, and so often you get people talking to him and talking to Jesus, saying, I want to see God, I want to see God. And Jesus says over and over again, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, we have no right to call out on the Lord, but we have a way. It is to the cross that we must come. Jesus died so that we could be accepted. It is to Christ we need to look. God came and became flesh for us. God came and died on the cross for us. He came to us. He was present in us as humans. See, I'm here as a representative, aren't I, of the EMW, and we have an emphasis in the EMW on revival and on the work of the Spirit. There's a danger there, because we can look back and say, because God's done it in the past, he needs to do it again. We can almost turn back and say, look, God, you worked like that back then, so please work like that again. But we've got to realize, no, we're creatures. Coming back to the first point, we're not gods. We don't understand these things. We need to turn to the Lord. That is who we need. We need to turn to the Lord. But we must come through Christ, knowing that Christ died for us and Christ wants to bless us. My time has gone, and I know I need to give some information about the work of the EMW. But in one sense, this is it. This is what we want as an evangelical movement of Wales for Wales. It is what everything else fits underneath. We need the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. We need to be on our knees. And we need to do so realizing that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the light. I've got some slides now. If Tim could put them up, that would be great. And I'll just share just a little bit about the work of the movement. But as I say, if you leave here with one thing I want to encourage is prayer for the Lord. But if we go to the next slide, this gives you a kind of explanation of what we've been doing over the past few months. So many of our ministries, in one sense, have stopped. So Bryn y Groes, our conference centre, the summer conferences, the camps, the bookshops, things like that have had to stop. But we found other opportunities to serve. So we've got here, start from the top left, Team Talk, which is a weekly meeting for leaders. And in those meetings, we have somebody give a talk, a short talk. The one this week was on self-care, so looking after each other and after yourself as a church leader. These have been wonderful times, and then they split into groups to pray. And every week, over 40 different church leaders come to these meetings. Just underneath it there, I'm not sure if you can see, it's very small on the actual phone, but Brawd is the Welsh language equivalent, and that happens twice a month. It was every week at the beginning of the situation as we kind of got to grips with the situation, but now it's just two times a month where we pray for each other. Then we've got some of the meetings. You can see on the left-hand side, the phone, there's actually pictures. If you look very carefully and magnify your screen, you'll see some pastors from around Wales there. I think Steph Jones from Pontardawe is the one in the middle. But that kind of gives you an idea of what some of these meetings are like when you've got 50 or 60 pastors coming together and talking and praying with each other. Then we've got... if we go to the top, and we've got Gwneud Marc, Reading Marc Together. And these have been devotions that we've been sending out to young people based on the book that Emyr James wrote, taking young people through Marc. Then going round again, clockwise, to golau.org, which means light. And that's our website that we've set up just to help churches during this time. So the website is full of resources, sharing ideas, sharing information, just to try and help churches. It was especially useful at the beginning, as you can imagine, as everybody was trying to get their head around Zoom and live streaming and so on. And then following round you'll see Gofyn Cwestiynau, which is a website, an evangelistic website. There's also an English one. So last year when I was with you, I was talking about the Ask magazine, the Holly in Welsh, and it's now online, and that's there, Holly Cymru Ask Wales.org, and full of articles and so on. And it's been encouraging to have a few people contacting us through the website. And we give articles and share articles and so on through that. And then in the middle there, we've got some examples of what we've been doing. So Bala Light was a conference last week for church leaders online. About 200 people came to it. Numbers aren't important, but it does show the reach, I suppose, and people are out there wanting help. We've got our website, which has got a lot of resources, and a lot of Christians have been going on the website, finding sermons and so on, and sharing those, especially maybe smaller churches who haven't got a pastor. There are fellowship meetings for pastors' wives once a month. And this has been a particularly difficult time for pastors' wives, especially with, you know, being at home quite often with the children and so on. And it's good for them. Every month they get together, they share they have a devotion and then they pray together. And then the hymns are from the ABBA conference, over 90 of them on online, and it's been wonderful. What we wanted really was to put them up and for churches to be able to use them in their services, and there's a lot of that going on, and hopefully it saved a lot of time, especially for pastors who have had to put things together. But we're also getting messages from all over the world of people just listening to the hymns and being blessed by the hymns. And then down at the bottom there, there's a devotion, which is the daily devotion, which goes out. So there's a kind of example of a few examples of what we've done during the last few months. So things have stopped, yes, but other things have started. If we go on to the next slide. Here are things that are on the way, coming out very soon. So you might notice I'm a little bit sweaty today. It's because I've been packing the magazines. And I was packing the magazines over to the Heath. And I saw that package. But the Welsh one and the English one, they've gone out today. The distributors today, and then the single copies tomorrow. So they're going over, coming over in the post to different people. Then we've got the Ast magazine, so a new edition of that. We're praying at the moment, when is the best time to release that? Because what we want is for people to have it, to give to people. And it might be that September might be a better time, we're not sure, especially if there's a second wave. But the theme of the magazine this time is hope, and therefore that's something that's going to come out. We've also got the three books there by Dr. Errol Davis, Knowing and Enjoying God, so a trilogy of books, wonderful books, and hopefully they'll be going off to the printers the end of this week, and then they'll be available. And what they do is they go through, the first book is quite simple in terms of explaining how to become a Christian and how to know God, and there's a development through the three books. I encourage you to check those out. And then ABBA conference. ABBA is going online, much shorter conference. We don't feel that people need a lot at the moment. Churches are doing a lot. There's a lot of churches out there, which is wonderful, doing stuff. But it'll be three evenings during August, and the speakers will be Stephen Clark, Ian Parry, and Phil Swan, speakers from Wales who understand our situation. And there'll be children and youth clubs in the morning. So that's something encouraging and something to look forward to. In the summer, we've also got camps. At the moment, they're kind of trying to get their head round how on earth they're going to do camps online, and it'll be very different, obviously, but there are some ideas out there, and there are people with a burden for the work. The Welsh conference, I'm really looking forward to this, because one of the things, I don't know if you remember last year when I spoke to you, I was saying that the Welsh speakers are incredibly difficult to reach. But one of the great blessings of this period is that a lot of Welsh speakers, a lot of very liberal people, have been reaching out. My church here in Bangor, we're getting so many people watching and viewing and sending messages to us. We're not seeing massive conversions, but what we are seeing is people who are in very liberal churches finding an opportunity to hear good gospel preaching. Their own churches haven't been able to cope with the situation. There's probably going to be a mass closure of a lot of churches. Especially smaller churches, especially churches with maybe with very old ministers because of the situation. But that God's used that wonderfully. And the Welsh conference this year is going to be really focused on evangelism, because we know that so many people from outside of gospel churches are listening. It's almost a bit like Nicodemus. They'd never walk in to a church, but now they're able to do it from the safety of their own home, and nobody knows. And that's a wonderful thing that God is doing. And therefore, please pray for that. There's a new Welsh book as well coming out on Ephesians by Emma James. Wonderful, wonderful little book. But obviously, please, will you pray for some of our other ministries that have been hit very hard by the situations? So we're thinking of the bookshops. We are looking to reopen the bookshops, but it just depends on staffing and volunteers and so on and the situation. Bryn y Groes, that's a particular worry because obviously this situation is going to have a very big effect on a conference centre. And Gwydion and Catherine, I was talking to them last week, and they, in one sense, they've enjoyed the time to rest. That's been a blessing to them. But there's worry now. We're thinking, well, when can the conference centre reopen? And how many people can actually go and stay there because of the rules? And obviously, at the moment, the EMW works by producing some surplus from our events that pays for staff and so on. And at the moment, that's because we're not running any events, because all our online stuff is free. There are major issues with finances, but we trust the Lord, and we find that the Lord is very, very good. And therefore, we're comfortable with that. And then if we come to the last slide, which again, I want to bring us back really to the main theme, which is a calling on the Lord. We do a call to prayer every March, but we've decided to do another one. It'll be the 5th to the 11th of July. Online, if you look at the address, isn't there, but emw.org.uk/call to prayer, or just go over to the website and you'll find a little booklet that has been produced to try and help us to pray. Again, there's a lot of mixed messages out there and a lot of people, Christians, struggling to know what to pray. So Mark Thomas, our General Secretary, is going to try to help us by bringing a different passage of scripture to mind every day. And therefore, there's a little booklet as well. You can get the booklet through the post if you want, just to tell us through the website. And they're in the magazines anyway. They're all in the magazines that'll be coming out. And therefore, please, if you feel that you'd like to join that, it's 5th to the 11th of July, but again, it's not something for a week, is it? It's something for us always to be seeking the Lord and seeking his face in this situation for ourselves, for Wales, but most importantly for his glory. Thank you.